Okay, as you know, we're studying the book of Revelation, and we're in Revelation chapter 4, which mentions the seven spirits of God, or the seven flames of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. This is mentioned in the Old Testament as well as the New. A lot of people never have even studied it. It's one of those areas that seems mysterious, and you kind of flow over it, and you know you've read it, but you don't know what it means. I believe God wants us to know what it means. He wouldn't have put it there otherwise. And I believe that by noting each one of these ministries of the Holy Spirit and our involvement in this process of judgment, you see, this occurs at the judgment seat of Christ. And I've heard a lot of people come up with all different ideas about what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. And people say, well, it's going to be kind of like a movie projector. You're going to have your entire life unveiled at that time. And yet the Bible says that what really does the judgment is the judgment of the Holy Spirit. Now, this makes total sense, because everything you have seen since you've been saved, everything you have heard since you've been saved, everything that you have done since you've been saved, the witness to that is the Holy Spirit, because He's in you. And so naturally, He would be the witness of what you have done. I just want to read a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians, and then we'll move on with the slides. Let's go with the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about this burning. Now, there are two categories, stuff that can be burnt, stuff that can't. In verse 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So everything we've done fits into one of two categories, wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. The gold, silver, precious stones are the things that have been done by the Holy Spirit through us, that we've allowed God to do. And each one of these ministries of the Holy Spirit is being tested. Tested over your lifespan since you've been saved. And it will judge you according to what you have done within each one of these categories. Now, we put together one that, you know, you don't find this name in the scriptures. It's personal involvement. That's the name that we put to it. And this personal involvement is something where you have a tremendous amount of say-so as to what the Holy Spirit is allowed to do through you. Now, the Holy Spirit can be grieved when you say, Lord, I don't want to do this. If you don't pick up on the will of God and do something, there are several areas that talk about God being grieved, and the Holy Spirit in particular, because He's the one who wanted to do it. Now, we get to this area, and I want us to see the empowerment, because there's a huge difference the day before you got saved to the day after you got saved. Your potential is enormous once you're saved. Why? Because you have the power of God in you. Before that, you did not have the power of God in you. Does that make sense? So there's a dramatic change that takes place. Now, the problem is, generally, we don't see a whole lot of people showing forth the power of God. And one of the reasons is motivation. We're creatures of habit. We like to do the same old, all the time. And that's not what the Holy Spirit's interested in. He came to change you, make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that means change, but it also means continual change. Every day from the time you get up to the time you get up again, the Holy Spirit in you is preparing you to do something for Him. And He's preparing a way in which you can be useful for eternal things. Gold, silver, precious stones, they're just symbols, but they represent things that will last forever. Everything else will be burned up. Now, I want you to look at this whole issue of empowerment, because God gave it to you the day you were saved. The day you were saved. So let's not ignore it. Let's not put it aside. Let's not pretend that it didn't happen. It did. And with that great power that is in you, the Holy Spirit is going to judge whether you used it or not. Now keep in mind, this is the very same Holy Spirit that filled Moses. This is the very same Holy Spirit that filled Joseph in the Old Testament. This is the very same Holy Spirit that filled Elijah and Elisha and the other prophets. This is the very same Holy Spirit that filled the 120 believers on the day of Pentecost. And in the book of Acts, we read this in chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1. Okay, in verse 8, Jesus says to them, "But ye shall receive power." Power. Now the Greek word is dunamis. That's where we get our English word dynamite. It kind of explains things, doesn't it? Dynamite in you from the day that you're saved. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." They were the parting words of Jesus. Very important words. About empowerment. Peter wasn't powerful enough, and he denied the Lord. The other disciples weren't powerful enough to put God first, and so they ran instead of sticking with Jesus all the way to the cross. The exception is John. But the others, the average, even the most educated spiritually people, the disciples, they failed the Lord because they didn't have the power. Now you have something that while we read the Gospels and we watch the disciples following Jesus and doing things, you have something today that they did not have. Not until Pentecost. You have the dynamite, dunamis, the power of God in you. Right, let's take a look at some of these slides. Let's go to the second one. There are degrees or levels of power. Anybody who has done any wiring of houses, you know that there are basically two different types. Now, you go to an RV, you'll see another type of voltage, 12 volt. Some of the big rigs use 24 volts. But generally in a house you have 115 or you have 240 or 220. And there are different levels. One can accomplish more than another. And when we look at what God gave to us, we see that the power level in a believer is optional. That is, you decide how much. And I've known of people who have gotten an answer to prayer. They may have fasted and prayed for a long time, and God gives the answer. There it came. And then they don't see the need for that power anymore. And they start adopting more and more of the ways of the world. And even with power they had before the crisis, they end up with less than that. It's optional. It's your choice what you want. And if you want as much of the Lord as you can have, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Next slide. You go to the gas pump. You determine. And I hope you think about this week. If any of you go to a gas station and you have to fill up the car with gas, or even put any gas in it at all, I want you to think about this. At your hand is the authority to determine how much gas is going into that car. It doesn't just fill up automatically and then stop when it's full. You have in your hand the ability to stop it at any particular point. The very same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. Those 120 in the upper room, they were praying for as much as they could get of the Lord. They wanted to be filled. But then there were an awful lot of people who met Jesus and believed in him who weren't there. And it was too much for them to spend all that time in an upper room praying. They weren't interested. If God wanted to suddenly endow them with some magnificent power wherever they are, they'd probably receive it. But they didn't want to go out of their way. And I think we all can agree that's the condition of most Christians today. We see that we have a choice. How much of the Holy Spirit we're going to have. Now, I've had some people say, wait a second. You're looking at the Holy Spirit as being quantitative. In other words, more of a person. The Holy Spirit's a person. You either have him or you don't. No. Some of you wives understand this. You can go to the dinner table and start talking, and your husband's there filling his face with the food that you prepared, and he's happy. And he keeps looking down at his iPad and see what the latest score is. Take a couple mouthfuls of food and look down at that. And you're talking the whole time. How much of your husband do you have at that moment? Not a whole lot. I mean, he's sitting there. He's there. His presence is there. But you don't have very much of him, do you? And in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, the very same thing is true. The Holy Spirit's there. He's in you. The whole person, the Holy Spirit. But how much of him do you have? You see, if your thoughts are to the world, if your thoughts are distracted into other things when the Holy Spirit wants to talk with you, you really don't have very much of him. And then there are times when, and this is by the grace of God, we are allowed to have such sweet and wonderful communication with the Holy Spirit because he's there. And he wants that with us. But it's our choice. We're the ones who determine how much of him we're going to have. I think of so many of our kids in these neighborhoods. And you have to understand where some of these kids are coming from. It definitely determines their behavior. But you look at some of these kids and you realize their parents don't even talk to them. I mean, they're like outsiders. Are they there in the house? Yes. They sleep in the house. Yes. Do they eat in the house? Yes, most of the time. But how much do these parents have of their kids? They don't even know them. They don't know their friends. They don't know what interests their kids have. So wait a second. They have these kids, yes. Just like the Christian has the Holy Spirit. But how much attention do we give to him? That's the issue. Next slide. There are different types of power. We look at the prophet Elijah. Elijah did a lot of mighty miracles. Elisha, on the other hand, it wasn't as spectacular in the way the people would consider it spectacular. He accomplished a lot for God. Miracles were done. But not the same type as Elijah did. We go to the New Testament. And the one who is preparing the way for the Lord, John the Baptist, the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. How many miracles did he do? None. There's different types of power. John the Baptist had power to stand up to Herod. John the Baptist had power to stand up and rebuke the scribes and the Pharisees who came to his baptism just to be seen. John had tremendous power. But it was different than the power of Elijah, different than the power of Elijah. And one of the ways of power, one of the types of power, is endurance. You put a swimmer in the water, you watch the Olympic Games, you see swimmers staying within their certain channel that they have to swim. And, you know, it's an endurance thing. Who can get all the way to the end? And this is one of the things the Holy Spirit gives to us. One of the aspects of power. You may not have all the aspects of power that the Holy Spirit has available. And the reason is God has a certain mission for you. Usually many missions. And God wants those things accomplished. Only certain types of power are needed to accomplish certain types of missions. I mean, it just stands to reason. You have the President of the United States going over to Afghanistan on Thanksgiving to spend Thanksgiving with the troops over there. I think that was a very wise and kind-hearted thing to do, to encourage the troops. He even was involved in getting behind the counters and serving these men who are protecting our freedoms. But you know, you look at that, and you know, what kind of power took him over there? What kind of power did that? It wasn't a nuclear missile. He didn't need nuclear power. He had aviation fuel that needed to tank up Air Force One to get him there. That's another type of power. Aviation fuel is not the same as nuclear power. Different people need different types of power to accomplish different missions. Number one, you have to identify what your mission is on a particular day. Then you have to ask yourself, what type of power do I need in order to accomplish that mission? And whatever kind of power it is, the Holy Spirit has it. But you have to understand that He's ready to give you that power. He's not going to shortchange you. He's not playing games with you where you have to guess, well, what is God going to do next? He wants you to accomplish your assignment. And the Holy Spirit is there to provide the power. Sometimes it involves endurance, because some of you have our own missions right now that you've been working on for years. That involves certain types of power. Endurance. You're going to keep at it until it's done. There are a lot of people that if they didn't have that power, they do something for a little while, and then they quit. And I've seen more of that than I have seen the power of the Holy Spirit in endurance. I see people do something for a little while and get excited about it, and then Something distracts them. Something pulls them away. The power isn't there anymore.
Next one. Power to carry heavy weights. I think this is the power that Job had. He had a lot of things thrown at him. He was carrying an awful lot in his heart and mind. His spirit was weighted down with all the things that Satan was throwing at him. And yet, the Bible tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Job was able to get through this because he was able to lift heavy weights. Some people
who react out of fear because they don't have the power to lift weights. There are a bunch of scams going around. I'm sure most of you know this. Scams on the phone. Somebody calls up, says they're from the IRS and you owe so much money. And if you don't go out and buy some cards and give those in payment to the IRS, then they're going to come and arrest you. Then there are others who, in fear, get on the phone. Somebody tells them, "Well, your grandson or your brother or your father is in jail. We've arrested him. We need the bond money right now, or he's going to stay there for 40 years." A lot of scams out there today. People sometimes just, with a minor fright, they melt down. They can't handle it. And you know what? Out of all these scams, they wouldn't keep on doing them if there weren't people who didn't have the power to say no. They wouldn't keep doing it. They're making tons of money. Because there are so many people in this world who don't have the power to lift heavy weights. And so the slightest little weight that comes along, they crack. They melt in fear. I'm sure that the various things that you have to deal with are different than most people. You have to handle real problems, not scams. And as you do that, one of the things that people kind of go back to that really is a mistake, they go back to the fact that, you know, I come from a long line of hardheads, and I come from a long line of people who were just stubborn and they stuck to what they believed and so on and so forth. Well, that's good, but I'll tell you what, DNA is no competition for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always more powerful. And instead of depending upon your DNA, which can fail, depend upon the Holy Spirit because He can. So, one of the types of power that the Holy Spirit provides as a person needs it is to carry heavy weights. Next slide. Then there are others who get involved in battles, fights. And I'm sure you have seen fights where, you know, it gets into the third or fourth round and one of the boxers looks as if he's ready to give up. And you can tell it. And pretty soon as that look comes on his face, the opposing guy comes and knocks him out. This is wrestling. You know, the Bible tells us about wrestling. Paul mentions it a couple times. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. How well do you do wrestling against evil? How well do you do? There's a special power that comes against those things. And the Holy Spirit provides that for us as is needed. Okay, next slide.
There are a lot of people who start off great. They may be way out front, leading the pack. But after it comes close to a quarter mile, they start falling all the way to the back. Christians with the power of the Holy Spirit are able to continue the race and win because there is that special power that God gives to us, an incentive to keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. And, you know, anybody who's done track and field, you know that there is that second wind that people get, that supercharged adrenaline that kicks in at a certain point, and suddenly you are re-energized and you're able to finish the race and sometimes even win. Well, with the Holy Spirit, you have more than that. It's more than a second wind. It should be your first and should follow you all the way through. Okay, next one. Some believers have a very difficult time dealing with spirits. They've watched too many horror stories on TV. They've watched too many scary movies, and so they're afraid to tackle things that are spiritual. And yet, they're things that every one of us, at some point or another, and some of you have to deal with it more than others, there's this battle against demons, evil spirits. But it isn't our power that does it. These fallen angels, even though they've fallen, are stronger than mortal man. What is it that defeats them then? The Holy Spirit in you. God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit in you. Now, we have this display of fires, flames. We're down to the personal impact of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to be judged based upon how we have allowed the Holy Spirit's power to work through us. You see, that's a choice. If we depend upon our own DNA, then it's wood, hay, and stubble. It'll just be burned up, forgotten about. You're not going to get rewarded for it. If you depend upon some self-help book, somebody else's advice rather than the guidance of the Lord, that's wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to get burned up. What won't get burned up, and the Holy Spirit is witness, the Holy Spirit witnesses whether you depended upon Him and His power to get your assignment accomplished for the Lord. Next slide.
We have all the power we need in the Lord. Now, what do we do in order to achieve it? Let's go to the next slide. First of all, we have to ask. There were many times that Jesus told his disciples to ask, and it shall be given unto them. Then we have to have faith that God's going to answer our request. And we have to ask ourselves, am I asking this for my own personal satisfaction? Am I asking this for reward? Or am I asking this for the glory of God? And that's where the faith comes in. If we know we're asking for the right reasons, we can have faith. God's going to provide the power that we need. Then
We have to come before him with expectation and receive the things that he has for us and then use them in the way that he says to do it. In other words, obey. Obey. There have been an awful lot of people claiming to be, let's say over the past 100 years or so, especially since radio and TV, claiming to be faith healers. Does God give the gift of healing to some people? Yes, he does. Now, what if that person sees the power of the Holy Spirit and sees people healed, but then decides to take credit for himself? Is it possible that he might still have the power to heal and be out of the will of God? Yeah. And one of the things that you'll notice on TV is when people get a big head and start thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to think, you're going to find that a lot of these people go downhill spiritually mighty fast. Do people still get healed? Yeah, some. Not as many, but some. We need to keep in mind that when God gives you a gift and an assignment, he doesn't pull it back. He says, this is what I want you to do. Now, our issue is yielding in obedience to his will, what he wants done. And then he'll bless it. But we have to act upon these things. I know a lot of times as Christians, if there's any reluctance at all, we come before the Lord, we ask for something, and we ask for power, we ask for strength, and God says, okay, it's yours. And then it just kind of sits there. It just kind of sits there. A fellow I knew up in Georgia, he had purchased a piece of property where an old county road had come in, and they had put some tar and asphalt on this road, and it had decayed over the years. And so he asked a friend who had a bulldozer. He said, can you bring that bulldozer by? I want to scrape this up because I want to put I want to plow this whole land, and I want to put in some crops in here. And so the friend says, sure, I'll drop it off at your house. And so he gets his truck and his flatbed, brings it over there, takes the tractor off the flatbed, leaves it right there on the ground for him, ready to go, gassed up. And he went out of his way, to help his friend. But he came back a month later because he needed his dozer back. And he looks, and it's in the very same place that he dropped it off. Hadn't been moved. Hadn't been touched. And there's this old decaying roadbed that still was there as well. And he went to his friend's house and said, hey, what's this with the dozer out there? I left it here. I thought you were going to scrape up that old asphalt and start putting in some crops. And the guy said, yeah, I know. It was a real comfort, you know, to be there, and I'm glad that it was. I just really never got around to it. I'm sure the Holy Spirit sometimes wonders why, after he delivers the power that is needed for any of our assignments. I mean, he drops it off the flatbed, and there it is. Why we didn't get out there and use it? Why is it still there? And I think if you look in the mirror tonight, you'll see a face that will admit that there are a lot of things that God has empowered you to do that never got done. Should have. Could have. God provided for it.
But you see, that's what this is all about. Those things that simply were good intentions fit into the category of wood, hay, and stubble. What good did they do for anybody? Just the good intentions. Nothing. It's only the things that we have done for the Lord that actually will count. And so that's why we have these flames of fire before the throne, the judgment seat of Christ. And they will burn up the things where we didn't get to it, we didn't try, even though the power was delivered. This whole issue of power is so important for us. God gave it to us to use for Him. I've known of people who complain, you know, well, I feel God wants me to do this or that, but I just don't have the wherewithal to do it. Listen, if God wants you to do something, He's not some sick manager that says, okay, I want you to go out in the field and start digging and never gives you a shovel. That would be sick. If God tells you to go out and dig a hole, He's going to give you a shovel. If God tells you to go out and defeat the enemy, He's going to give you a power greater than the enemy. So we need to think about the day when you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and all our works, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, will go over these flames as to what is going to be burned up and what isn't. I want you to think about empowerment. Now, we haven't really touched the surface of this. Lord willing, I want to continue this thing on power because we need it. We're not going to accomplish anything by our own strength. So we need to get into it a little bit more. But tonight, I don't even start getting into the depths of it until we realize all that's already been given to us. It's there. It's already there. And so then it behooves us to determine, how am I going to get that power to work through me? And that's one of the big questions a lot of Christians have. But it's no secret. It's not something God has hidden. It's there in His Word. So Lord willing, if we have next week, if the Lord doesn't come before then, we'll get into that. And I believe it'll be a blessing. How can we really be the instruments that God wants us to be? All right. Let's bow in a word of prayer. We're going to dismiss just a few minutes early. That'll be a change, won't it? All right. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for showing us that in the power of Your love, You placed within us Your Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that Elijah had. The very same Holy Spirit that Moses and Joseph and David and so many others that You mentioned in Your Word. The very same Holy Spirit that was in them is now in us. And Father, the power that we need is available. And we praise You for that. Open our eyes, open our hearts, that we can be used more effectively for You. Father, we ask Your blessing on each one tonight who has come with an open mind, open heart, and willing to receive what Your Word says. That's a start. Help us, Lord, to get moving to glorify You in all that we do. And we give You the praise for being here tonight, but more than that, for You being here tonight. And we ask, Lord, that You bless us throughout this week. Use us for You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Trust we'll see you Wednesday.